Raised Rowdy.
All right, well, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have two of our good friends from the great band Treaty Oak Revival here with us.
What up, what up?
Howdy.
So for audio, why don't you guys introduce yourself on right. the mic so that way if people are listening to audio, they'll know who it is.
That's a good point. I'm Lance Vanley.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sam Canty.
Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
We've chatted about having you guys on for a while. We're big fans since we first heard of you guys, and super thankful that this worked out. Me and Sam, I was like, bro, just let us know. We'll come out and bring someone, and we'll bring Ike or someone, and we'll just video it.
Well, I found out we were going to be here, and I was like, man, we're going to have some days where we're just not going to do much of anything. Yeah. So I was like, man, I'm going to hit up Nick.
Man, we appreciate it.
Honestly. Yeah, man, no problem.
Yeah. We've gotten to see you guys, me more than Kurt, extensively this year on the road at festival season. Man, I will tell you this. The crowd that you guys have screaming every word to every song, and they are the people that are in the front of the front row, is crazy to see.
It is from stage as well.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I have a video. We were like kind of like side stage. And I panned the crowd of like all the people on the rail at Tailgate and Tall Boys, and they're just all screaming their faces off.
Oh, man.
Every word, just like one arm over the railing, like pointed towards stage. And I was just like, man, this is what it's all about.
It's the whole
fans
point.
Like that.
Yeah. Tailgates and Tall Boys was fun as shit. That was awesome.
That was a wild night.
It was amazing. Your guys' night lineup was, of course, insane.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are headlining festivals, and we got you earlier slot, and the crowd went freaking bonkers for it.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. It was a great opportunity to just be there and play. It was a fun
I'm down
festival.
To go back again.
Yeah. We'll talk to the guys.
Yeah, we'd love to go back. That was a fun festival.
Yeah, I like riding around and, like, seeing all the fucking trucks and everybody.
Oh, like in a golf cart before the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's elite. Checking all the tailgate and everything, all the degenerates. Well,
in tailgate, they have like trucks set up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a whole
On the sides of the stage, there's like two jacked up trucks just like on a flatbed.
Yeah.
Have I played tailgates? I have to ask Nick if I played festival.
I don't
think
you have.
Okay.
And like over to the right of the stage, there was like stage right, there was a bar, and then there was like, look at all these squatted trucks.
Yeah.
It was just like a whole thing of like truck show. Yeah. It was like, it was wild.
And honestly, it's cool because it's like it brings those two audiences together. There's heavy crossover of music fans and truck fans, right? Like,
yeah,
of course.
Absolutely.
Right? But it's cool because they get to show off their trucks, and then there's a bunch of like truck vendors and stuff. And honestly, the Midwest is fantastic for me, like as a fan.
Yeah, for us too.
Not that many fights. People love the music.
Sam's like, I don't know about
the fight part. Yeah, they love the music. All right.
Do y'all get a bunch of fights at your shows?
No, not as much anymore, man. Yeah, I think it just depends. Like, it's one of those things where you're gonna run into it every now and then. Yeah.
Of course.
Some guy drunk and pop off, or you know, he gets bumped the wrong way, or
but honestly,
a can hit.
If anything like that happens, it gets taken care of pretty quick.
Yeah. And so. I mean our fans, they don't want, like, nobody's there to show to fight. Like so they honestly try and shut that down or get security to
Well, they know too, like we'll that. More than likely probably stop.
Yeah, we'll
the
stop
show
the show. If it's more than 5 or 10 seconds of action, it's like, well, hey.
Did you guys find that it's like always during the quiet songs? I feel like whenever a fight breaks out, like during our shows, it's like Beautiful Crazy or something. And people are just like, there's like a huge brawl for some reason.
Maybe it's because it like gives them a moment to like actually talk shit to some people.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like, Beautiful Crazy.
Yeah. In the background, it's a woman telling her man that she doesn't love him anymore. Yeah. It's like, babe, I brought you to Luke Combs concert. Paid us money.
Fucking crazy, man. I've seen some, I mean, I know you guys seen some wild shit too, but it's like, what are these people doing out there? Alcohol, probably.
A lot of alcohol at our shows. They like that.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I've like been to a Luke show, and my friend Jenny was just so drunk that she doesn't remember any of it. And she's like, what a great show. I'm like, how do you remember?
She's like, I got it all on my Snapchat. Yeah. It's great.
Brutal.
Johnstown, PA, baby.
Yeah, there goes like a couple $100 minimum. Not to mention alcohol.
Well, Bill taking care of her the whole time. let me know. Yeah. Or we love you, Bill. But man, honestly, like for us as fans, like I'm fan first, right? Like I'm kind of deep in the industry now, or I probably know too much about too many things, but like the roots of it are I love going to shows and I love that feeling that I get. And like, it's funny, like some of my friends are like, let's watch side stage. I'm like, let's go fucking six people deep in the pit.
Yeah.
Like that's where I get the energy. Yeah. And your guys' shows 100%. Are energy the whole time. I mean, the entire set, the crowd's going wild. They know all the words, not just the songs that are hits, right? Mm-hmm. They know all of the words to all the songs.
Crazy.
And the people that are at a festival, the people that are up front are the diehards. Those people were your fans. Mm-hmm. They were there to see you guys on those nights, which is the best.
Yeah, it's dude. It's so we have literally the best fans in the world. Of just like we say we're gonna come play a place, we're like, and they fill it up, and like they show up, like just. I mean, it's wild to see every night of just. It doesn't matter if it's 500 people or 5,000 people. It's still just like. Holy crap, like, yeah, that's a lot of people showing up.
They show up early, too.
Yeah, like, yeah, and that's what I love for
we have an opener, I always say, y'all need to show up early because this opener is badass, and everyone pretty much will be there.
Yeah,
man,
we're,
for the
like...
most part. And, like, no matter where we play, I think our capacity probably holds pretty well, too. I think we wind up being, like, 95, 96% capacity the whole show.
Yeah, so, we have, like, yeah, cool, it's, man. Like...
A lot of them don't leave until after the encore, it's cool.
Which is pretty rare too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy to see.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, like how relatively new you guys are and how kind of like fast it exploded. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild.
It's definitely been like a hit the ground running type thing since the first record kind of did good.
Yeah.
So we've just been trying to keep up with everything. And I mean, it hasn't really been that big of an issue. We kind of do things at our own pace, but at the same time, you always got to be like, man, I hope I can top.
And there's always going to be growing pains.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think we're kind of starting to see that a little bit, but
yeah,
not as much.
Well, it's just, you got to learn how to do things the right way, and you fuck shit up, and then next time you do it right, you know?
Right.
Even like me playing for other artists, it's like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, everything, like, I feel like in this music industry, at least, you know, the experience we've had in it, it's, you know, there's a lot of, like, try it out. Like, does it work? Yes. Like, you know, try working with these people, try working with this band, you know, and sometimes, dude, it's fucking awesome, and you have the best time of your life, and you're like, other times, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I don't do that anymore, or, you know, or, learning experiences.
Trial and error.
Is a big one.
When people say they have it figured out, they don't. They're all liars, bro. Everyone. Yeah.
It's
all
like
levels.
The same thing when you're a kid. You're like, grown-ups know what they're doing. No, we're all still figuring.
No, and honestly, like, I worked at a record label for like a year and a half, and that's what I figured out. It's just smart people trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They know more than the average person knows, but they're still learning every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's just having enough talented people pushing forward. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And in a band, you guys are lucky because you have each other too. So you have someone to bounce everything off of before you even have to go to that.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about us being in a band is it doesn't all fall really on one person.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get together as a group and we'll talk things out and discuss things. And I like that a lot better than just if I had to make all those decisions myself or if he had to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Is there a sort of like when you first start out, it's like you guys are in a band, it just feels like being a band, and then as your shit blew up, but it's kind of like, does it start to feel more like a job? Is it like a percentage swing, or is it kind of still feel like you're still in the garage days? Or
yeah, I mean, it depends, dude. Like it definitely now feels like a job because I mean we're having to come out to places like here and do
hang out with a bunch
shoots
of dicks.
And publicity and stuff, which I love.
We get to do this on our time off.
I get
which
to
is choo- great.
But the cool thing is like we get to choose who we do that with.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like I wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah,
so like I'm glad that we got to do this.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't feel like it feels like a fake job. That's what I always say. Like
totally.
It's not a real job.
Yeah. There's definitely I mean, you know, it's like there's definitely days where where
it's the weirdest
you know,
shit in the world, man. Yeah. Especially from us coming from like corporate jobs and
corporate jobs,
like
oil field. It's like everybody was working,
like,
or
oh,
just
hell,
straight
man,
up
I
like
gotta go to work
like
every day.
Our drummer used to pound fence posts into the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's like we've come from all different backgrounds, and so it's like, yeah, it's kind of an unbelievable thing that this is our job. Like, I can't believe that we get to do this. But yeah, you know, I mean, yeah,
at
like
the end
anything,
of the day,
there's
we're
still
all just
work
happy
to
be
but,
here, dude.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but we're yeah, extremely happy
blessed to be here, and we're just really, really thankful. And yeah, sometimes, a lot of the times, I find myself going back to like, oh, I'm back there, right back there in the shop. Sometimes, mm-hmm,
yeah,
you know,
oh yeah,
just working shit out.
Was that where you guys used to jam early in a?
Yeah, we moved around to quite a few places, man. We started out. It used to be a band that was just practicing out of one of my buddy's uncle's shops. He had a vacuum repair shop. And then we started
and
there.
And then we had a drum set and a little 16-channel analog board.
It was hey, fun, though, man. It was like right. It was in this little strip mall. And it was like only a few
like
stores down
from
a
liquor
store.
Yeah.
So we would just be in between jams. We'd go to the liquor store, go buy some more stuff or whatever.
Come back.
Nick,
yeah,
we got to start a band, bro. Me and you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's
I'm
fun
not
shit
good
ever
at any of that.
Yeah. You're good at drinking, aren't you?
Yeah. Not really anymore. It used to be.
Oh, true.
Oh, yeah. That's true, man.
That's real.
It's like,
but. Oh. But yeah. Yeah. We started out there, and then he passed, the owner passed away, our friend, and then after that we kind of really didn't know if we were going to keep doing it, but we wound up talking to people, and there are people in the community who knew who we were and knew what we were trying to do. So, and we all, it's a small town too, so we're friends with everybody, so yeah, we were bound to find another place sooner or later. So we traveled around from shop to shop wherever we could get it in. Finally we landed on one of my buddies, one of my good buddies, he had a shop then. He let us play there for probably like 2 or 3 years, I think.
Yeah, like I think it's like started almost 2 years, and yeah, then
we bought our own
storage
like shop
storage
complex
unit whole thing. Yeah,
yeah,
we can,
and that became our practice place. Yeah. And now we play so much that we don't really practice.
Yeah,
that
it's
much. We get all our like, practicing out of the way at soundcheck. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Soundcheck is practice, or like now practice is like when we got together, rehearsed all the new songs before we went and recorded the new record.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we go do that. And so it's like, yeah, the rehearsal time is to write those new songs, to get those new songs down. And then, you know, for the rest of us, until we get ready to implement those songs in the show and the record releases, it's like, we have our personal practice time, you know, on that, because we all know the songs and, you know, we've all played them together multiple times. So it's just, you know, keeping it under your fingers, keeping it in the vocal cords, all that of just, you know, you kind of just, it's a lot of like in places like that, you know, it's just self-accountability with, you know, keeping up with things.
Totally.
Cause really, at the end of the day, as much as we play, even without that, you know, you gotta get it in a little bit more every once in a while.
And did you guys do like your pre-pro kind of stuff somewhere before you go into the studio generally, or do you just kind of get the studio and
we've normally done full pre-production before going in. I guess like even on our first record we'd written out
so the
all
way
the songs.
the way we've always thought about doing it was, back in the day we didn't have a whole lot of money, so when we did, when
you know, our first
so
when we
did come out with our
bucks.
First record, we wanted to make sure that we got the most out of our studio time that we possibly could, because we could only afford so much. So that was kind of a good practice to have at the beginning, because it allowed us to work out what we were going to do before, so that way when we come to the studio we had all our ducks in a row and shit organized, and we knew exactly what we were going to be doing for the most part.
Smart.
And then ever since we did that, we were like, man, this works really good.
It allows
really
you to
organized and
go in the studio
sense,
and crush.
So.
Like, you don't have to worry about, like, and I mean, even like with this new record, there were a few songs that we ended up kind of writing in studio, but we just found it's like when you do that, obviously it takes much longer.
Yeah, when you do
and,
that pre-work, dude. You're able to just come in
and we're like, hey, we want to record 8 songs in 4 days.
Yeah,
and they're like, no, you can't. We're like, no, we'll have all the drums and bass done by the afternoon, and then we'll get the next done. It's like, but yeah, because it, why waste?
We did. I mean, like that Talco Tapes thing.
That was.
I had like a whole like spreadsheet that I made on a notebook of like who plays what instruments on which song and everything like that. Yeah. And most of that when we recorded it was kind of off the cuff. Like when we were in there, we were just trying to make the best take possible and try to play to the best of our ability. But honestly, I think having that plan, it allowed us to basically make that whole record in what, 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like we finished.
So it was wild. Yeah. Like Taylor Kimball, the guy who we record with, he was like, "That's fucking crazy." And I was like, "Yeah, man." Well,
he just pushed the button. No, we just kidding, Taylor.
we just plan really well, or we tried to, man.
I mean, I think that's a smart way to do it. The more prepared you are for everything, you know, and then that lets you be creative on the back end too.
Yeah. Oh, and it lets you come up with like, you've already been playing through it. So then you've already had some ideas and made some changes before you even get to the studio, instead of in the middle of it, you're like, oh, what if I tried this out now? And then now you're taking an extra hour and a half to try and figure out a new little part, where if you did that at home or, you know, while we're writing together, you know, just, again, it's the time.
It's also like aspect. A professionalism thing, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't like going into somewhere, especially like when we first started recording with Taylor. I didn't want to go in there and like not have our shit together.
Yeah.
And not seem like we were serious when we came in there. We wanted to be going in there and him be like, oh, these guys are legit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and it
helps with the relationship too.
Yeah, especially. And even like again with the first time we recorded with Taylor, we went in there and did drums and vocals. Like that was it. That's all we had time for, have a nice day.
Yeah.
He engineered the drums and the vocals. Then we went home. I engineered my guitar and Jeremiah, our lead player's guitar, bass player Andrew. He engineered all his stuff and recorded it, and then we sent it back to Taylor, and then, you know, then we do the mix from there. And yeah, having that set up, because I mean, we had, I think, just 2 days to get all the drums and vocals for Have a Nice Day. And so, yeah, it was again one of those things of just like, we don't have a week or 2 weeks, like, we have 2 days, and you know, you just come in and.
Thankfully, that record did very well, so we got to actually spend some money on this new record that we're going to be putting out soon. So.
Do you guys have like a general time frame for that new record?
Not announced.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Cool, cool.
Well, you could just tell us.
We could say. I mean, it'll be. I mean, I think we've already said that. I think we've already announced. Yeah, like, it's coming this year. It'll be this year. Yeah,
so that's sick. Only leaves a few months.
Yeah,
There's only
August, September.
You know,
October,
it's the eighth
November,
month. There's
September.
Only you know, 4 more months left. Yeah. Wait, maybe I shouldn't date. Well, this will be out soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
No,
we can
I
cut
just,
that out.
I just didn't know if it was gonna be like this year. Or if it was
it'll be this year.
Yeah, it's this year. And I announced it on our social medias that we were going to be putting out a record this year because I think so many people were wondering after the Talco tapes, like, dude, it's been 2 years. Are y'all not going to put out any music? And I wanted to tell them, it's like,
we are. It's like, yeah. And I mean, there was probably people who thought, you know, the Talco tapes potentially going to be new music at first. And so, you know, you might, you know, but that was a thing where like, we knew on the back end, like, hey, we know you're getting, you know, some rehashes of some songs in a completely different style, but like, we know that there's other music coming that's been recorded. You know, we're doing all that. So
dude,
it's like,
we even had some people be like, they're just putting this out because they don't have anything else.
Oh, dude, my favorites was like when we released
it. They don't have anything else.
They were like, Treaty Oak will do anything to not put out new music.
Yeah.
Like,
anything. They're like, they're going to go on all these side quests and they're not even going to put out any new music. Come on.
Shut the fuck up, people.
Yeah exactly.
Well, no, the crazy part about fans is now is the majority of people just drop all singles.
The cycle of. And then every month and a half, 2 months, scrolling. 3 months. Yeah, you got a single out. And then, but I mean, for us, it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But like for us, I don't think we want
to
put
out six singles.
Yeah, you know, you put out six singles and then a 10 song record. And it's like, well, we've already heard over half the record now. So like, why are we going
to
go?
That's
listening?
Why I like to do like one or two.
Yeah.
And then. The record.
I love that, and if you have a fan base, that works.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Especially
we've been very
if you can
lucky
like
with all that. Yes. Absolutely.
Especially if you can like curate those two singles to kind of give a preview of what the record's about to be like.
I love a record release because I can get it, I can listen through it multiple times. Yeah. Like that's what I used to do when I got a CD.
Yeah.
You know, like
oh yeah, no, it's you know for us even you know when we put this, you know, these albums together, it's like we've got an order. You know, it's like with this new record, you know, it's not like you don't have to find the story, but there is a story between how it weaves in the songs. And so it's just like, yeah, you know, you can skip around, but, you know, you might find something new top to bottom or bottom to top.
Yeah, and the way we've been doing our records, like, I've kind of been trying to write them in a way that, I guess, does form some sort of a storyline or something like that.
Which I love that, too.
I like it. Instead of it just being just a bunch of random songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once again, it's all personal preference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the heart of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you probably had records that you loved that were like that, so you're like, that's
right. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, me, when a new record comes out and I've already heard the two singles and I'm listening to it, sometimes I skip the singles that I've already heard.
If I've listened to them a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, dude, I've already heard this. I know how the transition goes. Mm-hmm. I know how it fits.
Right.
But
no, I'm like that too, where it's like, okay, I got this new record and I've listened to these three songs a lot, you know? And I'm like, okay, cool. I got that. Let me go get this. And then when I go back, I'll listen the whole way through.
Yeah. Well, it was like the first time I ever felt that disappointment, and this is no offense to this guy, but was the Country Squire Tyler Childers record.
Yeah.
He came out with like 5 singles. And I think the whole record was only like 12 songs. And I was like, man, it feels like I only got 5 songs. Or like, it feels like I only got 6 real songs. Like, I've already heard all the other ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that would be cool to just do records not like that. Yeah. And just do like a couple of songs. And then that way they get like, it's like they're getting, it's like Christmas, man. You don't want to get all your presents before Christmas because then you're not going to have anything to open.
Yeah. The flip side of that coin is I remember buying records as a kid before streaming and everything. And I'm like, oh, I love this Bullets with Butterfly Wings song. You go buy the record. And it's a double record. And it's like my allowance for like a month. It's $20 double record.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it. I'm like, okay, I like 3 of these songs and the 2 CDs. Fuck.
That's true, too.
No offense to Billy Corgan.
Probably try to make all the music pretty good.
No, it's like come back to me when I was in like 5th grade, and for some reason I thought it'd be a good idea to buy the fucking like Kidz Bop album for some reason, and I thought it was something else, and it.
Yeah,
I know what you mean though, man. Like sometimes you get those records, and the singles were like the good songs, and then you get the other stuff, and it's just like, oh, these are fillers, you know, or something like that.
And I'm gonna say that I'm sure the new one's the same way. You guys don't have that on your records. We talk about your guys' record specifically as something you can like put on at a tailgate and let run. You know what I mean? Which I think is a testament to the quality of the projects.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we just try really, 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 really hard to make sure that everything we do is gonna be something cool.
Yeah.
Especially since we take so long to do it. Like,
don't want to disappoint.
The fans let you know that you do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They let us know.
That's funny as heck.
Is there some records that you guys love playing front to back?
My favorite record front to back is The Everglow by May. I think I was like 10 or 11 years old when the album came out. And my brother, like, had the CD or whatever, and I listened to it, and almost every song on that record directly feeds into the next one. There's one song on that record that the last 45 seconds of the song is the first 45 seconds of the next song. You just don't know it yet. And it's, it's like you just, it transitions and goes, and, like, that's an album that I recommend everyone.
What was it again?
It is The Everglow by May. M-A-E. The Everglow.
I don't know that.
Me neither. I
recommend it.
Mine is Sound and Fury by Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah.
Great.
That's one of my favorite ones to throw on. Or Sailor's Guide.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that I listen to from start to finish that are cool.
Yeah.
But I like Sturgill's, man, because they literally just flow in. It reminds me of like Dark Side of the Moon type stuff.
Yeah. Sturgill stuff's cool. Yeah. And in his live shows, wild too.
Yeah, we saw him. We went and played at
Two Step In.
Yeah. And we watched him play. He was the headliner that night. Dude. And literally just shredded for two straight
hours.
We just
like sat at front of house.
Yeah, and we sat and we were like, and he was over there just losing his damn mind.
I was like,
like he was like, this guy is real. Like,
I was like, this is insane.
I mean, he's heard,
I've heard
never Sturgill
seen
Simpson,
him,
but he's never like done like
yeah.
A,
and I'm just like,
holy I'm like, yeah,
shit.
Dude, he's
like,
the fucking man. And then after he was done, he was like, thank you, Georgetown, Texas. And he just walked off stage. Yeah. That was it.
Was he not talking between songs?
No.
Nope.
No, he didn't say shit.
I think he said one thing. He's like, how's everyone's 401k treating them today?
Oh, yeah.
Like, some shit.
It was like that. And then, it was just, it was a jam band. I mean, it was just jam for 2.5. Like, he was like, I think at one point he said,
like
we were supposed to be off like an hour ago, but like, or 30 minutes ago, but we're going to keep playing. Like, and they just, he was supposed to have like
and
an hour and a half
all
set.
Like,
it was 2.5, 3 hours.
The
like,
set was like, you're going to fucking hear whatever I play for you.
Yeah. There was
I don't give a shit if you want to hear fucking Turtles All the Way Down. You're not hearing it. You're going to hear like 2 or 3 songs from every fucking record in my catalog.
Yeah.
And it was badass. I didn't complain. I was like, all right, cool. I had some of my other buddies and they were like, you didn't play fucking Nuna. I'm like, that's the point. That's what he's trying to say.
Well, his live show, like his records are great and I love all of them in different ways and they're all so fucking different. But his live show is like, you're like at church, dude. It's spiritual.
It's cool. It's an experience for sure.
I remember seeing him open for Old Crow, and I was like, all my friends were like going to see Old Crow, and I was like, no, we're going in to see Sturgill. And if you guys aren't, I am, and I'm the one that has all of your tickets, so you guys are coming with me to see Sturgill.
Absolutely.
And then I got to see him in Tyler right when COVID hit. Like one of the last, probably one of the last shows they played before COVID.
Yeah, I was supposed to go see them in Austin, like at the Moody Center or something like that. And then COVID hit and they canceled everything.
And Tyler was wild at that show too. Oh.
Like, yeah, that was back, I think he was still not sober.
They were probably on some hallucinogens. It was awesome.
That sounds
But, kick ass. And then Sturgill played and that was, you know, the rock record. And it was like, cool, but I don't think the crowd knew what to do with it, almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's...
But it was... The show was amazing, you know?
Well, it's like, I feel like he's almost, like, discussed that, like, open forum, or at least just, like, talked about it, where he's like, he's like, I have people who are like, what the hell was that show? And he was like, he's like, I'm an artist. I'm going to perform, like, what the vibe is that night, basically. Yeah. It's just like, I'm curating the mood. And it's like, that's a whole nother, like, level of game to be doing that. And
I feel like church does that too.
Yeah, I was literally about to say that.
Like there's guys that I feel like want to move the needle more than they care about like playing the hits, you know what I mean? And I think those are two of the guys that in my opinion are like that. And they have the body of work that they can do it.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing. It's like, you have one record.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, we were thinking about that we were talking about this the other day. We were like, man, after we put out this third record, we're going to actually have to, like, pick and choose songs.
Make choices.
Really pick.
Yeah.
And now, like, even in these festivals and stuff where we only have to play, I think we had to play a 30-minute set the other day. And it was at
Warped Tour.
And we were just like...
Which we can,
we're freaking out, man. That Warped Tour thing, it was so cool. And, you know, I grew up in Southern California... in Northern California for like 5 or 6 years of my life. So I, around the time when all that stuff was going on, I could never go to any of them because I was only fucking 7 years old. I'm not going to go to crazy-ass Warped Tour. My parents weren't going to let me. But
a lot of stuff.
Man, to go play that, and I remember we were behind the stage and the band. So the way they do it is, I don't know, y'all ain't never been.
I've been to Warped Tour, I went with my parents when I was in high school.
Dude,
I'm jealous. Well, my parents wouldn't let me
I guess the way they did it this year was they had like probably 4 areas, and each
it's
area
like
had 2 stages. Yeah, so it was
like
2
side by.
It was 4 double stages.
That's sick.
So while one band would be playing, the other band would be setting up, getting ready to go. Yeah.
And there's like a 3 minutes between like when that band stops, you start.
So that night that we were supposed to play, I thought that we were going to be going on at like a 3 o'clock spot or a 4 o'clock spot, and then literally that Tuesday of that week, they said you're playing the last spot on the small, like the smaller stage.
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
Like, oh, hell yeah. Like, we get to close out that area of Warped Tour. And before we went on, this band, I think they're called 408 or something like that, but they're like a fucking metalcore band.
They were kick ass. Like,
fucking burned it down, dude.
They were like, ripping so fucking hard. Shit, and man. We're like, we got to go after those guys. Cody, like,
Cody's like, and me and Lance were sitting there. We had our heads underneath like the thing, and we were behind the drum kit, and we were just.
Dude, it was banging. Like,
and then they brought like some sort, some vocalist.
It was a singer from the Paradox. If you've ever heard of that,
oh yeah,
the newer band, pop punk. They're kick ass, but they're playing their festival. They brought like him on stage, and he sang a song with them.
They brought another singer though, who was just like a scream vocalist.
And oh, he okay, was just, yeah, that guy. Yeah,
yeah, doing crazy, and I was like. And they get off stage and they're done. And like, I'm looking at the crowd while they're performing, and there's just people crowd surfing and moshing and everything. And then it goes to the next stage and they come off, and I'm like, what the fuck are we going to do, dude?
Like, we got to follow
that. We got to follow that shit.
Like, it was and so badass.
I remember we were sitting there, man, and I was sitting backstage, and I kind of started looking out in the crowd, and I noticed that the crowd wasn't moving. Like, the crowd was kind of just, or some of the crowd had left, but all these other people started coming in. And then probably about 5 minutes before we go on, or 3 minutes, you just hear, treaty, 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 treaty. Like, the whole crowd.
Meanwhile,
and I was like,
we've got people trying to get the XLRs like, plugged in on the snake.
Like, they showed
we're
up,
like,
man.
2 minutes, 2 minutes on callbacks. We're just like,
yeah.
Plugging and then everything we went in. Out, man, and we fucking killed. It would destroy, dude.
Just went out there.
There's a big ass circle pit during Boomtown.
People
our
lighting
dude.
Director Adam was like, dude,
I got
a
iHeart Boobies
circle
bracelet
pit.
Thrown at me. I haven't seen one of these since fucking high school.
Oh my gosh.
Like, junior high.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. I had the time of my life, and we were like, who's the lead singer for Bowling for Soup? Jet.
Oh, I have no clue.
Sam's had him on the pod.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It might be.
Anyway, his son came up to me before the show, and he was like, "I'm a huge fan of y'all's. My dad doesn't know any of your music.
I know all your dad's music.
Like, he's the lead singer from Bowling for Soup." I was like, "Oh fuck!" I was like, "He doesn't know our music." He's like, "Nah, but
I do."
He was like, "But yeah," he messaged me after. He's like, "Thanks for being so nice to my son, man. It was really cool."
Whoa,
oh,
cool.
Dude, hell yeah.
How old was his son?
He looked like he was about like 24, 25. Oh,
I thought you were going to say like 7.
No.
My dad doesn't know any of your music.
No, older dude. No.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Dude, that's
the
cool.
Whole
I didn't even hear that
really
story,
cool.
So that's cool.
So many full circle things. Like,
dude, War Tour is so sick, man.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, like, I walked, like, I checked my phone for like the steps, and it was like, almost 13 miles I walked that day going between stages. Like, I just, like, there was like these kind of half main stages over here and then like the big ass main stage, and it was like a 15 minute walk between both of them. It was just like this band
who
this
was
band.
The main headliner
Falling in Reverse. Yeah.
So we watched a little bit of him. That guy likes Ronnie Radke.
Ronnie.
I guess he likes pyro.
Yeah.
They like
the whole time we were playing our show, you just see fucking flames shooting up over the hill, and you're like, oh, that's Falling in Reverse.
Yeah, but Luke Holland's playing drums, so it's pretty kick ass.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, we saw like Dropkick Murphys, we saw Bowling for Soup, Seo Sin, Cheetos,
Amberlin. Maddie Mullins Seosin came out and sang.
Sick, dude, they're
badass. Seo Sin was badass. Maddie Mullins sang for Amberlin. I was like, that isn't. And then there's like, thanks, Maddie, for coming to see. I was like, holy shit, it is Maddie Mullins. I was like, and yeah, it was awesome because we didn't get to see him the day he played the day before. And so, yeah, I was like, damn, I finally got to see Maddie Mullins live at least. And Amberlin, I haven't seen since. I think the last time I saw Amberlin was probably 2004, 2005.
Yeah, that's on brand.
Yeah, the Gorge up in Washington State.
Yeah, sick.
Like, dude, yeah, they had this like whole cool like little festival with bands like Amberlin, and everyone just, Switchfoot was there, and it was just like probably one of those little like Christian festivals back in the day, you know.
I hear a lot of like I guess I'd call like post grunge influence on you guys. I know we talked about like Sergio and stuff. So it's like, you guys in like the Deftones and or, like,
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of Switchfoot, I mean, Meant to Live, singing that little note. That was the first song I ever learned on guitar with my teacher. He was like, you know, you go and he teaches you, you know, a few chords, then I'm not practicing because I'm 9 years old. And he's like, how do I get you interested in this instrument so your parents aren't wasting money? He's like, bring in a CD of like a band you like and a song that you want to learn. And the Meant to Live was just playing nonstop. So I brought that CD in, and then it blew my mind that he like learned it in 20 seconds by listening to it, which is like nothing. It's not that it's a crazy hard riff, but like, I was just like, this is so cool. Like, you can just listen to music and then play it again. Like, it didn't feel real. And so like, it just,
that was my first lessons with Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It's bands like Paramore were huge for me.
I listened to just about everything growing up, but I listened to a lot of like pop punk and metalcore and metal and stuff like that. Like, I listened to Day to Remember, Blink 182, Sum 41,
Old Bring Me the Horizon,
August Burns Red, As All I Dying.
I saw As All I Dying Under Oath.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, dude, Under Oath is so sick. I think I've told the story on the pod before, but I went to a recording session with, I was playing steel guitar, and the producer was Aaron, the drummer.
Dude.
And he's like, hey, I'm Aaron. I'm like, yeah, dude. I know. I went to your show in 2005. Like, I know who the fuck you are. You're badass.
Dude, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of like Midwest emo and the emo shit and metalcore and all that stuff. So all the guitar stuff and everything. That's where that comes. We love all that shit, man. That's why when we were at Vans Warped Tour, we were like, man, this is our crowd, like the crowd we want, but like, we're a country band, you know, like we want the rock and roll crowds. We like the rock and roll vibe, the heavy guitars and all that shit, but at the end of the day, we still talk like this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, like, I remember sending my brother Steve and a couple of his buddies, Austin Snell. And I'm like, hey, this is like a kid that's like coming up and he's like starting to do the rock thing. And they're like, his voice just has too much twang in it. I'm like, that's not his fucking fault. He's from Georgia. Like, that's just how he sings,
but
bro.
I mean, hey, you got like Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge big-ass King rock. Of Leon
yeah, Kings of Leon, yeah. Which, yeah, same here. It's like, man, we did a cover band in high school for them to play a show.
I'm also like a big Drive-By Truckers guy. Yeah. That's one of my favorite bands of all time. I got them freaking tattooed on shitty tattoos on my leg.
Yeah. Drive-By is so good. Yeah, I mean, with Isbell and without, you know.
That's probably like one of my number one, like, biggest influences is those guys. Just like their guitar tones and their riffs and their storytelling and everything like that. Patterson and Mike Cooley and those guys are badass.
Yeah.
And Jason Isbell was with them too. Yes. It was fucking sick.
So. Yeah. And the songs when they were together were amazing. And I mean, the songs without them are amazing. You know? That's cool too for me, because it's like, they were great before, they were great with, and they were great after. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah. They're awesome, man. Yeah.
Has there been any like moments, you talk about people yelling about you guys not putting out enough music, where like you kind of hit like a writer's block, or like when touring really like ramped up, was like the writing, how you wrote, change or anything like that?
No, I write all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's never like, when I say I write all the time, I don't mean like I'm writing full front to back songs all the time. I'm just. You know, I'll think of a little melody idea or a chorus or some words, and I'll record it, and then I'll go back, and usually what I'll do is at the end of the year or something, I'll go back through all my voice memos and pick what I like and don't like, and then I build from there.
Cool.
But I like to, now what I've done is I like to kind of try to take at least a year or half a year to just go out and experience some stuff on the road and live life a little bit and get some more stuff to write about. Like right now, I was talking about it the other day. I feel like it's always right after you release a project, and then your brain goes, okay, what do we do now? Because we were just freaking about that. Yeah. Now what do we freak out about? And it's like, oh, you don't have any songs now. And so the brain is like,
focus.
So
need more songs.
Yeah, you
so,
go back and it's
but
just...
they always come. Like you think, at least for me, after Have a Nice Day, I was like, I'm never going to come out with another record that's going to be half as good as this. Like, this is the best we could ever do. And then, you know, a few months ago, I finally sat down and was like, okay, you know, it's about that time. We need to start looking to put out a record. And I went back, looked at all my songs. And I was like, I got an album. Like, I was like, I got a record right here. Yeah. And it's always been there. It's just like, you never think about it. And it comes. It's always going to come. If you're lucky, it'll always rear its head a little bit.
That's so cool.
You always kind of have your ears open to hearing what people are saying and like, oh, that's a cool turn of
phrase. But that's part of like being a songwriter.
Yeah, always.
Like, that's part of the job. Just like, you know, y'all practice your instruments at home.
I don't. Kurt does all the time.
We're trying to figure out the next thing y'all can play to, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, even like, you know, it's a lot of times for us, I feel like the writing, especially when we're together, becomes very spontaneous. I mean, last night.
Yeah.
Like last night we were
slow getting up in the morning. We stayed up till like 3 last night just writing. We all wound up somehow in the bus.
Yeah,
in
like all 5 band members. It was like none of us were really hanging out. And like I walked on the bus.
Let's start like a couple and then one will come back up and be like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah,
and then the other one will come
up. And then
there's
like, wait, what's that?
You know,
what's that song you're singing over there?
And
it's like, hey, we're working on this thing over here. And then, you know, and it's like we caught this line for the start of the chorus. And it was like, there's something there with that. Bing. And then it's like, all right, you start working. And then next thing you know, we're like writing little riffs and stuff over
it. You just
got
to get it in while you can, man. Yeah. Wherever you
absolutely.
Can.
What do you guys keep on the bus? Like recording equipment and guitars just kind of hanging out?
Nothing, dude. Yeah. Up until now, like, man, we've been spending so much time on the road and like free time, like days off, that finally this week I was like, man, I know we're going to be on days off for like 3 or 4 days. I'm just going to bring my guitar because I keep a guitar at the house that I've written a lot of songs on that thing, and I just brought it onto the bus and I said,
"Old standby."
And then Jeremiah, he ended up picking up.
It was like a 1940s Gibson.
Yeah,
he went to Carter's or something.
It's one of our families. That he got restored, we went over to the Gibson garage. He sent it to him, and they basically were able to look up all the serial number information about when it was built, and it was very interesting with like it had been refinished like by Gibson. The headstock was refinished and changed to a different, like they said it was like some marquee, like some specific guitar, but they were like, that's not the headstock it would have for that. So they're like, but it was done by Gibson. So they're like, this is a really, they said all their guys were like, oh, this is a crazy guitar. Yeah, but yeah, so I mean, we had that actually guitar, and that thing has got some mojo, I'll tell you that. After last night, it feels like it's got
It looks like some Robert Johnson shit. But they were playing it last night. It was cool. We came up with like half a song.
That's sick.
So, like you just get it in where you can, man.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's always interesting to me because it's like your guy's life is probably so busy. You know what I mean? Like, which
is
what's
going
on.
It is, but it isn't. Like, I feel like most of the time.
You kind of just get, I mean, you know, you have your busy runs and you're, you know, I'm going to be out for, you know, I mean, it's like over the past 2 months, I was talking to the guys. I was like, I think I've been home 10 days in the last 2 months at my own house. It's like, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm traveling and working. And like, I live out of my suitcase, you know, half the time, even when I'm home, because you get home, you have 2 or 3 days. It's like, okay, I got to wash my clothes and then get ready to get back out there, try and get some rest where you can. And then, you know, it's just, it's a different job, but, you know, it's my favorite job in the world.
I was going to say it's a cool one.
Yeah. Do you guys ever like deal, like sometimes with my brain, it's like, it goes, it's like dopamine flip where it's like you play a show and it's like, fucking awesome, you know, a million people, and then like you just go like sit and you're just kind of like,
when it's over
after?
There's a lot of nights where it's just like, I don't know if it's just like energy thing, whatever, but you like, you go out there and you give it your all, and then it's like, you know, you get off the stage and it's like like, oh my, like, you know, it's like you just played the full game, and then you know now you're going back to the locker room. You got that cool down time. But you know, I think it, at least I see on our side of things, that, you know, a lot of times after shows we're still, you know, getting together, chatting, and, you know, hanging out. So I think that kind of helps to, you know, elevate.
Yeah, that's what we do too.
Yeah,
we're also kind of purposeful, like before the show, like half hour, like put our phones up and like put her ears in and just like shoot the shit and make fun of each other and kind of make fart jokes and all that.
Oh yeah, no,
yeah, we kind of eat a pre-show ritual type thing. Yeah.
What do y'all do?
I mean, for me, a lot of times I'm just like I like to be mostly in my own kind of space. Like, you know, I'll hang out. Like, if it's just the guys, like just us, then yeah, like I'm fine. Like you said, chatting.
Yeah, we usually go up to the stage like 5 minutes before the show, get all our ears put in, get our packs, get our instruments, and then we kind of just hang out, and then right before the show starts, do like a breakout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that.
And up on stage. Do a little
kick ass
what we're doing tonight. Man. And then we got a random word that we say each time. A lot of times it's fuck. Yeah.
Like, fuck on three, ready, one, two, three, fuck.
Yeah. We say all kinds of shit.
It's all fun stuff. And you got to have the little things like that to keep it
fun.
Yeah, fun.
Sometimes, man, it'll get you fucking fired up.
Yeah, dude, a lot of times.
After
those,
I get myself
Jeremiah,
fired up.
He's got a pre-show ritual. Every show that our tour manager, Blake, he lifts up his shirt.
Ooh.
And then Blake goes, bam, and smacks him as hard as he can on his chest.
Yeah, like fucking five stars his fucking chest right before he goes on stage.
And it's every
And most
every
of the
show.
Time, like sometimes, like recently we've been playing like in the bigger amphitheaters or arenas, so like people can
see it.
We'll oh, right, yeah, they'll be like hanging
right here
at the corner.
Looking at us in the pit, and then you'll just hear, oh, like, whenever they do it, and they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. What are those guys
there's
doing?
There's
another
person just recording, and they're like, why is his shirt off?
Have y'all ever been to a professional wrestling event?
Yeah. Oh, I've not.
It's
sad.
When they do like the fake hits or whatever,
it's fucking.
They're fucking hitting the shit out of
you. Oh,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude,
and it's
yeah.
loud. And
I saw that one with Logan where he got booted to the face.
Yeah, if you.
Like, oh my God.
Well, we went to Nick brought me to this, dude. This I guess you call it a wrestling event.
Wrestling ish.
Yeah, it was like
I might know what you might be
super.
What was the.
Backyard brawl.
It was kind of like that, but it was at a club, and there was no ring, and it was the cement floor, and these guys were doing these pile drivers in the chairs and botching it, and people are like bleeding and concussed.
Literally bleeding, like actual blood, not like the packs.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Sounds like a fucking nightmare, dude.
Yeah.
It was
like
fun.
A train wreck you can't stop watching.
Yeah, it was very
fun. Just like...
Kurt was like giving the guy a beer while they were wrestling, like handing him a beer.
He got a sip of it. He was drinking my beer and then he fucking gave it back and then, you know.
I'll drive the guy.
Our buddies, Cody Parks at the Dirty South, they're like a band from here and they're like, it's like Southern Rock and Kiss.
Yeah,
like
Def Leppard or something.
Like
yeah.
Def Leppard. Like, that's
fuck
their vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Like two band. Flying V's on stage at the same time. It's sick.
Dude.
You know? So they play like locally a lot. And honestly, this year, not as much. They're playing more.
Touring more.
But we love them. And they were playing. So we're like, we got to go to this.
Yeah.
And they were like, will you guys like post about it on your story? And I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, you give us like 4 free tickets. We're in. You know? So we did. And they're like, we want to do more with you. And I'm like, I don't know about like the liability of you smashing a dude's head on the cement. Probably a little
and
hard.
And me promoting that. Yeah. Right. I don't know if it's good for the brand.
I was like, we will come though. Every time.
I'll be there.
Yeah. I'm like, I will be there. This is electric. I love it. But like,
oh, man.
I don't want to be on the insurance policy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude,
not.
Honestly, I went to one in our hometown at like our Coliseum or event center or whatever.
Yeah.
That's some of the most fucking fun so I've ever fun. Had. And that was back in my drinking day, so I was like, wasted.
Yeah. Hell
like,
yeah.
Yeah, fuck them up.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's watching wrestling, it's like hockey. It's way better live.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But even more than the wrestling is the crowd.
It's like the energy in the room. It's got to be electric. I mean, I'm just like,
oh, it
everyone
is.
There is like.
Hopped up on Mountain Dew. Yeah. 100%.
Well, dude, and that's like the thing that I love about live music is the people, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love being in the crowd, and I love seeing people experience their favorite moment of the week. Probably their favorite moment of the year, often. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's cool, man, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were on the other side of the fence, mm-hmm. you know? I remember going. I loved going to shows. I still love going to shows. I just don't
that's
get
the
to
thing
do
we
it
don't
as
get
much.
To do as much.
We talk about that,
you know
too. I told Matt, I was like, in the last, like, couple months, I was away at a festival when my best friend got to see Metallica in Nashville.
On my birthday.
On his birthday.
Damn.
Yeah.
I was like,
where
I got
at?
Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
They were like, fucking so sick.
I got offered a free ticket to Pearl Jam that I couldn't go to because we had an event.
Yep.
I got offered Eric Church at, what was that great venue?
The new venue.
The AEG venue.
Yeah.
Pinnacle.
Pinnacle.
He tried to take me to see Zach Brown at Pinnacle, which is like one of the reasons I like got really back into country music is like when that Foundation album came out. Mm-hmm.
And you missed AC/DC also.
And I missed AC/DC. Man. In like a 2 week span, I missed all of those. And I was like, the fuck
I was
I
on
doing?
A tear for concerts, bro.
You were. Yeah. And I was like, what am I doing missing all of these events?
How the hell do you even find time to do all that?
Yeah.
The Metallica show, this year with Luke's schedule, it's like,
How heavy is y'all's touring schedule?
Yeah.
This year is not heavy. Oh,
okay. Really?
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Okay.
When you wind up playing stadiums and stuff like that, when you're on Luke's level, do you play less? Like, is it less shows?
Logistically, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Because
you're only playing like the major cities, right?
Or just the big areas that can hold you. Yeah.
So what Luke's strategy was, get to the level where we could play stadiums. We did a couple NFL stadiums to see if he could do it. Mm-hmm. Then he could. Then they booked a whole tour doing one night. Mm-hmm. Then we hit the secondary markets doing two nights. Then this year, we're not doing that tour, and we're doing multi-genre festivals. Okay. So we did Lollapalooza, Stagecoach, Bonnaroo, Newport Folk Festival, New Orleans Jazz Fest, all that stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Then, you know, we'll do another tour next year, whatever that looks like. So, but because the NFL has to use the stadiums too for some fucking reason, I guess.
Players.
Getting in my fucking way of touring. Yeah. So you can't tour as heavily.
Yeah.
And then also you got Zach Bryan, you got Morgan Wallen and Chesney and whoever else. So it's like logistically you can't.
Yeah.
But it's like we did two nights, you know, so which is crazy because you just roll the bus up and you just live inside a football stadium for the weekend.
Yeah. That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember we rolled up to Buckeye Stadium to get to play, and that was crazy.
What show was that?
That was
the Buckeye Fest.
Buckeye Fest, yeah.
There's Jelly Roll.
Jelly Brown.
Jelly Brown. Jelly Roll, Megan Maroney, Post Malone. No, Wonder.
Yeah.
It was just Jelly Roll, Megan Maroney, us, Dasha.
Dasha, and Kane Brown.
Yeah, we played that a couple years ago. That was a sick place, right?
Dude, yeah.
So what do you think of playing stadiums?
It was cool.
I felt like
we did okay. We only played, 45 minutes?
I think we got 35 minutes for that show.
Yeah. It was cool. Yeah. I feel like for us, like, that might be, like, the next direction.
Okay. That would be, like,
be sick.
Well, I mean, like, I think the big thing with, like, for doing that our first time, which obviously, like, for my level of enjoyment with like crowd mic.
This is gonna be my next.
We do not have the setup to like properly crowd mic a stadium to be able to hear things. So it's like you're like, are they? Like, they were singing, but it was like you're like, are you? I can't like.
You couldn't tell.
Like you, and it's like, and he's like, if I turn your, he's like, if I turn
like,
your stuff
oh,
up
yeah,
anymore,
loud,
like
dude, no
you're just gonna be getting feedback basically from you're gonna be hearing yourself out of the mains. And I was just like, all right, like so, yeah. And I love having crowd mics and like.
Me too.
It's just, yeah, it allows you to not be blocked
in
off.
Your head
I mean,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, not in your head. I mean, yeah, it's just like, you
like
know.
One of the worst feelings in
yeah.
the world.
Yeah.
Bro.
So you're like, do they hate us?
Yeah.
So we have this new thing. Our monitor guy is the fucking best, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got a fader. Mm. And when Luke goes, sing it, he just pumps crowd mic
in.
Oh,
nice.
And the hair, yeah. I'm just going to get goosebumps just thinking about that. Because he's like, and he's
it's
like,
just a pump.
Sing it, and then just, and they're, and, you know, by the time you hear it, it's a little delayed or whatever,
yeah.
but it's still
but,
so fucking
oh,
hype.
Dude,
and
yeah.
I'm like, just thinking about it, I'm getting
dude, it's
fucking,
the it's yeah. it's for me. We at the end of No Vacancy, not always, but a lot of times, we'll go back into that last course and just kind of let them.
Yeah, we'll do
it
a cappella.
And I like,
we'll have the crowd
I take
singing.
An like, I take an
that.
I take an ear out.
It's fucking awesome
every
dude.
Time we do that because it's like.
I want
to
hear
it. Like, I can hear it with the crowd mics and all that, but like when you just straight up hear it to your ear, you're in, you know, a 10,000 person arena and everyone's screaming this song. And it's
with
like
the lights up and
yeah,
everything
like,
too.
Yeah,
it's
like, it's, yeah, like you said, it's an insane
yeah,
you tear
feeling. Up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd no catch myself yeah. choke up a little bit.
Good.
Dude, yeah. Like, it's, damn. Yeah, I mean, with especially like starting to play these bigger arenas and having more fans at shows. When we play Ode to Bourbon, we're like, put your lights up. And then you get to finally see how big this stadium actually is.
You like watch
is.
It like go
you
across
just, you go,
the
and you're like,
fucking cool.
Wait,
man.
That's how far back. Like you, because during the day, like, you know, you soundcheck, you see it. But then like it's different when they actually fill up the room. Like when a room is full with people, all of a sudden it's just like.
And most of the time you only really see the people in like the first few rows.
Yeah, it's like unless the blinders go off, you know, yeah, you've got four rows of people that you can see and interact with hardly. And so, yeah, when you get to finally see the crowd and be able to interact with them like that, it's just an insane experience.
It's badass. And I think we have like Co was a lot to thank for that because he had us on that arena tour with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
last year.
We just got so good at playing those arenas that, when it came time for the next year, all those places we played were like, hey, you want to just come back and
you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, we're going to play. Yeah.
I'm like, hell yeah, dude. But then it's weird, awesome. Too, because I remember the first few that we played, it was so weird not being on the Co tour. And it was like, it was our tour.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, shit, all those people are out there.
Yeah, yeah, for us. Yeah. I was like, that's still the weird thing where sometimes, like, I have to remember, like, hey, man, like, you're not the opening band anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's and cool. It's like, it's, yeah, because, yeah, it's like,
we
I
never
say,
thought
it's
any
like,
of this
if this
happen,
is a pipe
so.
Dream, like, don't wake me up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just fine where I am. And so, you know, it's, yeah.
I always say, I'm like, my life, I'm like, I feel like I'm in the Matrix all the time.
Yeah.
None of this is real. Nope. I died during COVID. None of this Nashville experience is real.
Yeah.
I'll take both.
But I mean, the cool thing about this industry, and I mean, for me, Nashville, because this is where I'm at, but like for you guys, is it can happen and it does happen, especially to people that are talented and people that work their ass off. You know what I mean? And that's the consistent thing that I see is the people that like, sometimes it takes a spark, but then it's what you do with that spark that really makes it work.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's just kind of always been our thing, man, is we just try to, every single night, we do the best that we absolutely can, whether it's on stage or whether it's making music, that's all we can do. And then whatever we get from it, we just try to help other people and give, like, whether it's a band who just wants, you know, hasn't ever been out on the road like that, we'll bring them on tour with us, take them around and show them the ropes, show them what it's like. And then they can go and do their own tours and they're ready to go do it, you know, if there's ever like a, like, I mean, we had the floods in the Texas Hill Country, you know, we raised over $100,000 just from our fan base and our band. Yeah. And we got to give it to those people. And that shit, I was like, man, I can't imagine being back like on that job site watching concrete being poured. It's like, man, if I would have never just said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fucking give this a try and see what it does. Maybe it sucks, maybe it doesn't, but we did it. And now we get to do all this amazing shit. And it's awesome.
No, I mean,
I think I'm in a dream all the time.
Yeah. I mean, before it happened, I was like, if I don't pursue this full time, like, I mean, it's like, I got offered like $100,000+ a year job doing IT. And I was like,
yeah,
do I do that? And we talked about it, like,
because
I was like, I know it sounds crazy. I was like, I don't want to leave, but I was like,
take the fucking job.
I was like, I don't think I need to take it. And he's like, don't. And I was like, because if I don't try this, I'm gonna regret it for the rest of my life. Whether I leave and y'all succeed or y'all fail, or I stay and we succeed or we fail, like, either way, like, I have to try this out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's like, I'll find another job somewhere else. Like, I'll get another job offer eventually. Yeah, you know, it'll come back.
There's always
around.
Another
like,
job waiting for you.
You can find something else, and you know. But it's like when you're kind of like, you know, you're in your mid 20s, late 20s. You're trying to be like, all right, I need to get my life together, and then you're like, nobody has a life together, and you're like, oh, thank God, you know. And so it's like, but it's just one of those things. You like growing pains and figuring out, just growing up to how do we navigate, you know, left, right, center. But it's just, you know, you got to get, like I said, just got to give it a try. Like, you know, like I said, whether you fail or succeed.
And like I was telling Matt, man, we're so grateful to be a part of like the scene that we come from, which is the Texas and Red Dirt scene. Texas and Oklahoma. Like, it's one of the most accepting, like, nicest, coolest scenes ever. Like, everyone in there for the most part is cool. Everyone's willing to help each other out whenever they can. And man, we have so many other artists to thank for where we're at right now. So,
dude, we always say, and we hear it so often, it's like, as good as you are to people on the way up, that's how good they are to you on the way down. And
I've always heard that too, man. Yeah. I mean, everyone you see on the way up, you see them on the way down. Yeah, and
just be good to people.
I've always been an advocate of, you know, raising tides raise all boats. You know?
Yeah.
High tide raises all ships.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we try to instill in our camp and just try to, I don't know, man. Like, everybody, some people use, like, these platforms that we've been given to do, like, political shit and all that stuff, and that's great. Like, do whatever you got to do. But for me, I just want to, you know, take some of what we've been given and give it to other people and let them feel what that feels like.
Man, because it's cool, man.
Yeah,
it is.
100%.
And there's no better feeling than knowing that you're doing what you can to help people.
Exactly.
You know?
And our music, and that's a lot of the reason why I take so much time. We take so much time with our music because, hell, you know it. Your music helps people too. Yeah. So you want to try to make something that's maybe it can help somebody out there, and it's not just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It's actual, you know, a lesson or a story that people can take that and apply it to their own life and
or just directly relate.
It's just cool, man. That's why I love it.
Yeah.
We've all had, you know, the songs where you're like, I feel seen. Like, and it's like, and it can come from any band at any time, in any song, any place, but it's just like, man, it's like when you're able to find, you know, music like that, it's like something you can hold on to.
Yeah. Well, we thank you guys for making music like that, honestly. And honestly, thank you guys for taking the time out of your day to come out here and podcast.
No problem, man. I'm glad we could get it done, dude. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time coming, and hopefully we can do it again sometime, man.
We'll have you on Matt's next, because he'll kill me if I don't.
That's fine, man.
But no, boys, thank you so much. Like I said, we're big fans, you know, have been since we heard the first record. And
thank you so much.
Stacy, God bless Stacy. She sent me your guys' record. She's like, have you heard this? And I'm like, no. She's like, I'm writing an article about it. I'm like, yes, you are.
Hell yeah, man.
But just thankful for you guys, the music, what you guys do for fans. Like, just watching them go absolutely buck wild every song.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could say the same thing about y'all, man. Thank y'all what y'all do for artists and giving some people that, you know, may never get a platform, and you give them that platform. Yeah. So we appreciate people like y'all giving, you know, the little guys a chance and getting them where they need to be. So, and thank you for all the nice stuff that y'all have said about us. There's quite a few people out there that don't really like us. So.
Really?
Yeah, more than you think, probably. But thank y'all for being nice and liking our music.
Yeah, dude, it's been great hanging.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Anytime.
Well, that's it. All right, guys. Well, I'm Nikki T.
Curdo's on. And we'll see you on the front row. Thanks, boys.
Treaty Oak Revival Show, baby.